Let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you're incredible. This service has been amazing. It's not because of us, it's because of you whom we worship, whom we love, who we depend on. Father, the songs that have been sung, I pray that they have encouraged your soul, Father, because they've definitely encouraged my soul. It's so good to be with my brothers and sisters and our honored guests and our friends to worship you this morning. Father, be with us. Help us to continue. Help our relationship with you to be passionate. Help it to be alive. Help us to be engaged with you in all that we do. We love you. Be with Richard and Sarah as they're in San Antonio this morning. I'm sure Richard is encouraging the church there this morning with a sermon. I know that he is with his best friends, Mike and Hervé, and getting a lot out of his visit. I pray, Father, he comes back encouraged, inspired, and Father, that just benefits us. We thank you so much for their love and the way that you've given them to us. I pray, Father, you bring them back safe. Thank you for all you do. Be with us. Be with our hearts. Help us to receive the message this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 It is good to be together this morning. Amen. I'd like to start our time off with a question. Question. If you were to describe your relationship with God to someone, how would you describe it?
Awesome.
There you go. I like it. What other words? Give me some other words.
Passionate.
Passionate. Good.
Dependent.
What?
Dependent.
Good. What else?
Friendly.
Friendly. Alive.
Humble.
Fulfilling. Exciting. Yes, sir. Sincere. There you go. Miss Lisa.
Supernatural.
Come on. You got to be careful of calling the quiet ones because they come out with some crazy stuff. But that's awesome. That's awesome.
Peaceful.
There you go. We got more? Yes, sir.
Authentic.
Authentic. Come on. Turn over to Joshua 14. Now, we could be here all day just shouting out, right? Because we're excited about our relationship with God in here. Joshua 14. Starting in verse 10. It says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive the 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today. Excuse me. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard that the Anakites were there and the cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out as he said." Does that not encourage your soul? I mean, here's an 85-year-old man. Caleb was 85 when he said this. And he said, "I'm ready to go to battle now. Now give me what God has promised me." You know, this morning what I want to talk about is living the Christian adventure. You know, our lives with God need to be filled with passion and adventure. You know, when we think about adventure, sometimes we think of the thrill seeking, right? You know, people do stuff like jump off, you know, cliffs and, you know, bungee jump. I ain't into all that. I'm just being honest. You can't get me on a roller coaster. I'm not interested. You know, if God wanted me on a roller coaster, he would put me on there. But he's not. I'm not interested. I enjoy the life that I live now on the ground. When I'm in the air, it's flying someplace to do this, to be about God or visit family or go on a vacation. But it's about living. When you think about your relationship with God, would you describe it as a zoo or a jungle? Okay, good. You know, when I think about a jungle, here we go, me and technology. I got it. Go backwards? Why don't we turn it off and turn it back on? Come on, man. There's four buttons on this thing. I promise I have a college education. Larry! Cheer. Don't press one button and make me look silly. Okay. He'll be back. When you think about a zoo, what comes to mind? You know, when it comes to mind to me, it's very organized. You know, think about Zoo Atlanta. That's what's going to be on the screen in a second. Every animal has their place, right? The elephants are where they're supposed to be. And praise God for that, right? Because there's certain animals you don't want together. Because, you know, in a zoo, you don't want chaos. That it was there? There you go. You can see that they even got a children's playground. Thank you, Larry. You got the gorillas in the gorilla section. You got everybody where they're supposed to be. Now, what happens when you take a natural animal and you put them in an unnatural setting? Boredom. He's bored. He's not in his element. Hey, you don't see no grass. There's nothing green there. And praise God, most of the zoos today don't look like this, but some of them do. Some of them are very sterile, very organized. He gets his meals at a certain time of day. He gets his water, he gets his food, he gets his cleans and all that kind of stuff. It's all organized. Let me ask you a question about your Christian life. Is it that sanitized? Is it that organized that this is you spiritually? Well, you're just bored. You're not excited to be here. And forget about being up in here. When you got a worship team like we have, it's easy to get excited. But I'm not talking about hype. I'm not talking about being in an adventure for the thrills. I'm talking about being in a deep, passionate relationship with God. This guy's bored. This guy's not. Even the water buffalo ain't bored. He's running for his life. Is that you on the hunt for your relationship with God? Are you sprinting? Are you laying down waiting for someone to feed you? You know, when you're bored in the jungle, you miss a meal. When you're not excited about life, you go hungry. It's the same thing spiritually. When you're not engaged in your relationship with God, it's a slow fade. Is your relationship with God a zoo or a jungle? Okay, now it's speeding up. John Eldredge said, life is not a problem to be solved. It's an adventure to be lived. Is that the way you live your life? From one adventure to another. Now, you know what? I don't think a lot of us have, you know, black cars and capes and, you know, we're trying to save the day. You know, you superhero fans, that was Batman. If it went over your head, amen, praise God. I'm 41, but I'm like 12. But that's my world. Don't judge me. But do you want adventure? Do you have a sense of adventure when you approach the Christian life? Are you stuck in dutiful living? We're supposed to be dutiful, but it needs to be balanced. When there's so much duty, there's no passion. Think about some of your jobs. After you've been there for a certain amount of time and you've done the same, you know, thing over and over again, can't you get in a little slump? Can't it get a little boring? Well, maybe you got to do it a little differently. You know, I've been a disciple for almost 20 years. The first time I heard about the Passion of the Christ, when I heard the cross study, my life was transformed. I was sharing with some of the teens on Friday night that, you know, when I first came to church, when I visited, and I asked no one to do this, I pushed one person, and I said unkind words to two others. That was my first experience with the church. Somebody told me I couldn't do something. I just kind of went in his face and said, "And you going to make me not to do it?" Somebody came up to me and said, "I love you." And I pushed him. I was like, "I don't love you. I don't even know you. Why are you touching me?" But they were passionate about their relationship with God. They were calling me to righteousness, maybe not the wisest way. But guess what? A week later, I got baptized. It didn't take me long to figure out that this is the best thing ever. That God is amazing and he loves me deeply. Now, 20 years later, every day I have to go back to the cross and I have to intentionally, deliberately feel passionate about it. Because I've seen it many times. Remember the first time you saw the Passion? Some of us couldn't breathe while we were watching it. Some of us wept bitterly. How about after the fifth time you saw it? Have you become a critique now? Do you know when, you know, this is going to pop out or that's going to happen? Or, oh, no, that didn't really happen like that. Or have you lost the message? You know, being a Christian is supposed to be a life full of righteous passion. When the world thinks about passion, they right away go to the other place. They right away go to sin. And that's more fulfilling. Okay, disciples, is that true? No, it's not. I don't think it would be because this room would be empty. Because we'd be outside looking for those kind of passions. But see, when we're in a relationship with God, a passionate, adventurous relationship with God, we are filled up. That's what Jesus came to do. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. You know, let me let y'all know just this real quick. This is not going to be no theological endeavor. I'm going to say stuff you've heard plenty of times. I did not come here to impress you with my theological prowess. I came to call you out of a rut of being bored. That's what I called you to be out of. Here's the thing, man. We need to be on the edge of our seats. Now, Rich is brave enough to get to the edge of the stage. I'm not there. I have faith, but I have limits. If a big dude falls, it hurts. I'm not trying to hurt this morning. I'm sorry. But you know what? We get very familiar. We get familiar with God, don't we? You know, right away, when a lot of times I was talking to somebody that in the time where they're most intense in prayer is when life isn't going well. Let me ask you, how does that work in your other relationships? When you just call somebody and say, hey, I need this. Or, hey, I'm going through that. Or, hey, woe is me. That relationship feels kind of one-sided, doesn't it? God wants us to come to him with passion. You know, Jesus left heaven and came to earth to allow us to have the full lives of passion and adventure. You know, this morning, if you're not feeling like that, I feel you. I've been there. You know, a lot of what I preach comes from personal Bible study. And that's what I do. I like to go and study stuff out, and then I like to give away what I've learned. You know, as ministers of the Word, we're all ministers of the Word as disciples. We need to be reading the Bible for ourselves first and then give away what we found, right? That's how we help save others, right? We first found the bread. Now we go to all the beggars and show them where the bread is. No big accolades for us. We're just smart enough to pass it on. There's 3 points I have. The first point is we must love God with passion. Look over in Matthew 22. You know, passion is not just for us emotional people. I'll say that again. Passion is not just for us emotional people. For you guys that are a little bit more laid back and don't get all, you know, whatever, it's okay. You can be passionate too. I was talking to teens about this. You don't have to do all this. But it needs to be evident in your life what you're passionate about. It needs to be evident in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You know, this is Jesus calling us to love God with everything we have. You know why he could do that? Because he did it himself. You know how you call others to a standard? First you live it, then you can call others to it. See, the power comes from the way you live, not just simply from the message. Now, the power of God comes through his word, but they need to see you living it out too. How can you call your children to have quiet times and you're not having quiet times? How can you call the church to do well in your finances if you yourself are not doing well in your finances? I'm talking about these are my discipling times with Richard and Sarah. Like, how are you going to call people to this if you're not this? Bro, you need to change so that you can be an example. Does that just mean for the full-time staff? I don't think so. That means for everybody. If we see areas in our lives where we're not passionately loving God, we need to change it so that we can actually affect others. Because if we're not affecting others, we're not being faithful to what he's called us to do. The first thing to that is a passionate love relationship with God. You know, Jesus said in John 4:32, he says that his very food was to do the will of God. Can you say that? Can I say that? That doing God's will sustains me. You know, there are times when you might get tired and not want to get in the Bible. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, don't lie. Yes, you can. We all get there, right? We get a little funky. You know, maybe life comes in and starts hemming you up, puts you in the corner, and is just taking you to task. And you're just like, you know what? I just need to chill. And you go back to some worldly things to go get pleasure instead of, and I'm not even talking about necessarily, you know, overt sin. I'm talking about you don't go to God, which is sin. And you just say, oh, I'm going to watch a movie to make myself feel better. And what happens after a couple of days like that? The movies start looking a little bit more appealing, don't they? And God, there's no passion there. What happens the first time when you get that sip of water after you've been running? Oh, it feels so good. You feel it going all the way down. You're like, oh, that was so good. That water's so good. My son would say, I want a Coke. I want water. A Coke would make me more thirsty after a run. I want natural, sustaining water. Well, don't go to a sermon as your Coca-Cola after you've been in the funk with God. Don't come to church and open your mouth and say, feed me. What can you do for me today? When you're starting to feel yourself going down that path, it's time to open up your Bible and say, God, feed me, please. I need to feel you. I need to feel my relationship with you be strong again. You know, a few weeks ago, I felt that. I felt dry. You know, as disciples, we give out ourselves, don't we? We're constantly pouring ourselves out. And you know what? You can't pour out what isn't inside you. So a couple weeks ago, I was, the thought came to me, man, I need to spend some time with God. So I said, you know, I'm going to go on a couple of days on a personal retreat. And I'm going to go camping or something like that, whatever. And I shared it with my wife. My wife said, that's a lot of work. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, I might come back even more than I was. So, and the weather wasn't cooperating. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go on a one-day personal retreat, and I'm going to go into nature. So I don't know about you guys, but nature fires me up. Because I see what God has done. Cities is what man has done. But God's nature is perfect. And we get to be in nature, and it's like, so I decided to go to Table Rock Mountain in South Carolina. And some of you have seen my little post on Facebook, so I'm not going to get into all that. But I needed time alone with God. And it was awesome because ain't nobody was walking that day. And I was totally alone. Good thing I didn't trip or something like that. I might still be there. But yeah, for real. You hear stuff in the rustling. I'm like, look, good Lord. God, you better be with me. I'm in trouble. But it's a three-hour hike up. It's an eight-mile up and down. And trust me, the down is just as bad as the up when you got knees that are 41 years old. Trust me. Two and a half hours driving, I was praying, I was listening to spiritual music, I was rocking out, having a good time. Me and God were good. Walked all the way up, praying to God, it was awesome. Going back down, the only thing I could think of was the pain in my knees. But I prayed to God about that as well. But it was incredible. I learned several lessons. One lesson, God is as much in my living room as he was on that mountain. Because when I got to the summit, I'm like, where's God? And I didn't see him. And I was disappointed. I'm like, where's that mountaintop experience? And God told me in my spirit, I was in your bedroom. I was in your living room. You didn't have to come all the way out here. You didn't have to kill your knees for this. Your knees could be fine right now, young man. But sometimes you just got to go away. When you're willing to climb the mountain, the views are incredible. That was from my phone. I looked online to see if I found a better picture, but I said, you know what? This is mine. I will cherish that. Because quickly, 10 years ago, I couldn't do that. I had tried to do it with some buddies from Tampa, and I couldn't do it. 10 years later, I did it. But I didn't do it for the thrill. I did it to have a closer relationship with God. And God blessed it, and it was an incredible time. My second point is we must love the lost with passion. Amen. Look over in Luke 19:10. You know how long I was up there? As long as it took me to take that picture. Because I was like, man, it's going to take me 4 hours to get down. I better go now. It was like 3 o'clock. I was like, good Lord, I'm gonna lose the light. And I was by myself. It was funny. Yeah, it was funny, Dana. Thanks for laughing. Amen. Appreciate you, sister. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Boom. Boom. Very clear. We don't need to do an AIM class on this, guys. This is what Jesus came to do. This is the reason why he came. He left perfection to be on a godly adventure. Now let me ask you a question. When you wake up in the morning, is your mindset, is what is going to be my passionate adventure with God today? Or is it, I got to read my Bible for 15 minutes and I got to pray for 15 minutes? Come on, y'all. We're past that, aren't we? We got to be past that. There's a lot of maturity in this room. And sometimes when you hear something over and over again, we've heard it over and over again. So why don't you try something different? Maybe listen to the Bible instead of reading it. Maybe watching some spiritual, like I like the Gaither vocal band. It's bluegrass. You wouldn't think a dude from New York likes bluegrass, but I do. And they sing like psalms and all the kind. Me and my wife, we watching it like, yeah, this is good. This is the spirit. It feels good. Being in the Bible is awesome, and that's where the main food comes from, amen? But sometimes it's okay to supplement a little bit. It's okay to watch, you know, we love Upside Down, something that we did back in 1994. It still works today. It's still inspiring. Find something that inspires you and do it. Why don't you experiment? Remember back in the world, we used to experiment, right? Oh, yes, you did. Don't lie. Yes, you did. Some of us still got the effects of the experiments, but that's another sermon. I'm sorry. Woo! Yeah, come back. I'm back. I'm here. I'm talking about y'all. But I'm kidding. It's time to figure out what inspires us about God. But you know what? I was talking to a brother the other day, and he said, you know what? Duty inspires me. Oh, really not inspires. Duty propels me. It keeps me going. But he admitted, I need to feel more passion. And I was like, you know what, God? I'm telling you, you know what? This is a journey. Don't feel bad if, oh, man, I'm not passionate like he's talking about. That's okay. What are you going to do today to get yourself closer to God? It's not being one way and then, you know, ninja flipping over there. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. But you can inch by inch get there. You don't lose 100 pounds in one day. It's a journey. And I'm working on that. But it's a journey. And it's little steps, little stutter. And the more I stutter, the more calories. Can I use that? Can I burn that? You know, I'm going to count that. See, Glenn understood what I was talking about. Just count everything. I breathe. That was 2 calories right there. Amen. I burned 5,000 calories when I walked that mountain. Amen. I need to walk 2 mountains a week. Charles D. Gill said, there are many wonderful things that will never be done if you do not do them. And a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, when Richard showed the video where the guy dropped his fruit and somebody else decided, the disciple decided, I'm going to go help. And it changed the outcome of his life and the young lady that he married, right? This needs to be our passion. It can't be duty. Because guess what? Duty gets old. After a while, it's like, you know what? Whatever. All right, I'll do it. I'm supposed to. What are they going to ask me at disciple time? Bro, have you shared your faith? Yes, I did. I haven't had anyone come to church with me in years, but yes, I did. You know why? Because you don't have passion. People will not follow people that don't believe in their own message. It has to come from someplace. And don't misunderstand me. You ain't got to yell. My wife's not a yeller, and she has impact on mostly everybody she talks to. People fall in love with her because of her love for others. I need to imitate her in that and not be so loud. She could get loud every once in a while, whatever. I'll leave that alone. All right. You know, he said there are many wonderful things that will never be done. How wonderful is it when we go to a baptism? How wonderful is it when your coworker becomes a Christian and now you have a brother or a sister with you in the fight at the job? So when you're starting to sway a little bit, they could tug you and be like, no, 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 no. We don't do that up in the kingdom of God. Come on back this way, bruh. We need to be holding each other accountable. Some of us love accountability. We love people in our lives. Some of us shy away from it. It might be because of past hurts. It could be because we're just prideful. Whatever it is, let's talk about it. I don't know. I mean, a lot of stuff that's happened in the past, I don't see that happening nowadays. I see that there's a spirit of community. There's a desire to help. And I was sharing with a brother yesterday. I got together. I said, man, you tell me to do something, as long as it's not sin, I'm going to do it. I believe God blesses that heart. You want me to go talk to somebody about something because they're good at it and I'm not? Let's go. Let's go. Well, I'm going to say no. How selfish and foolish is that of me? If someone's good at parenting and I'm going through stuff with my children, how foolish is it of me to say, no, 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 I don't want to talk to them. I'll figure it out eventually. Yeah, you might figure it out with your grandkids, but you let your children lost. Guys, we have so much wisdom in here, and the youth among us need to take advantage of that. And some of us that are a little more less youthful need to take some of their zeal and transform that into our lives as well. We need to be passionate about the lost. Number three, we must love our families with passion. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. We must love our families with passion. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Boom. This is the boom sermon. Just bullet points, guys. Just straight up scriptures that God is saying, boom. Focus on this. I only got to say it once. God only needs to tell us once. Sometimes it takes us a few minutes to get it. Like Richard said a couple weeks ago, he has to say something six times for us to start getting there. And I agree, I'm the same way. But God is telling us right here that we need to provide for our relatives. That just doesn't mean food, shelter. It means spiritually. And I'm talking about those that live with us and those in our distant family. You know, a lot of us struggle with cold contacting. Some of us are awesome at it. And I need to hang out with you so I can learn more, you know? I'm pretty good with the relational kind of sharing. Family and people that I knew and know or whatever. Have you talked to every one of your family members about God? When you go to a reunion, are you the Bible thumper? I'm talking about in a good way. Well, you actually walk in with a plan. When you walk in, say, man, I'm going to influence that person. Cousin, whatever, I'm going to get you when I see you. I'm going to spiritually charge you up. Or do you walk in and just have hot dogs and hamburgers like everybody else? We are called to be different. We are called to live an adventure. So when we go on family vacation, when we go on reunions, we go with a purpose. Not just to cack-a-lack and get with people, but it's to fill them with the Spirit of God that we've been received. Are you with me? You guys here? Guys, this is the summertime. A lot of us, you know, we go on vacations, praise God. We have a lot of stuff going on. You know, our kids are home, so we have to, you know, attend them. These are all great opportunities. When we're dropping off our kids someplace, especially with their friends from school, if their parents are non-Christians, I see opportunity. Having their kids over to our house. Now my daughter's a high schooler, so we're going to have high school girls in our house. No boy better come to my house because he in trouble. He going to meet a different Jesus, but that's another day. Parents. Parents, are you passionate about your children's relationship with God? You know, I've had so many parents tell me, well, you know, they're just not interested right now. They ain't interested in doing their homework, but you make them do that, right? When have, as parents, we waited for our kids to be interested in something? I tell my kids that all the time. Oh, you don't want to do that? Oh, I don't care. Clean your room. I don't feel like it. That's good. I'm glad you're telling me how you feel. Now go clean your room. Now, with God, we can't approach it like that. We can't beat our kids over the head with the Bible. We can't beat other people's head with the Bible. But what do you first have to do? Be passionate about your relationship with God so they can see it and imitate you. So when's the last time you had a quiet time with your kids? Impromptu, not planned, and not long-winded. My son will be the first one to say, man, not daddy preach. He just talked too much. So I have to back it up. I can't use three verses. You know what I'm saying? I got to maybe use one instead of 3 points, maybe two. But you got to meet them where they're at. But if you're not passionate about it, you're going to watch them leave your house to college, not Christians. Now, does this guarantee they're going to be Christians by the time they leave? No. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie and say that. But do they have a better opportunity? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I didn't say that our homes need to be perfect, but they need to be godly. Godly resolution. Godly expectations. When the siblings are squabbling, you don't let that stuff go. And you don't just deal with the surface stuff. You get to the heart. What's going on? Why are you all at each other like you're warring countries? Can we all just get along? What's going on here? You're reasoning with the heart. You're trying to find out what's going on. Because why? We're trying to train the heart. But you know what? It's so easy to turn away and look the other way. It's so easy to just say, you know what? They'll get it. Oh, it's just a phase. Oh, I don't believe in phases. I don't. It's the heart being exposed. And it'll be a phase if you deal with it. Or it will become a character trait if you let it go. We need to be passionate about getting with our kids. We need to passionately love them and say, look, this is where I see you going. I love you too much to let you go there. You might go there anyway. And I might not be able to stop you. But I'm going to let you know how I feel about it. I'm going to show you what God says about it. I'm going to show you the end of the movie, and then you got to decide what you're going to do. I wish I had somebody like that in my life when I was a kid. I led my own life. I did my own thing, and I wrecked it. But God is faithful, and he found us. I'm sure some of you can relate to that as well. But do our children have to go down that road? They might. We don't know. But since you don't know, all the more be passionate about saving them. You can't be more passionate about saving a stranger than your own flesh and blood. I hear about parents, good-hearted disciples, running the streets and studies, and their children are not reading their Bibles. What sense does that make? Is God going to hold you to task for those strangers or for your own children? Now, I'm saying we need to be balanced. We need to be running after the lost, but our lost live with us. We need to love them. They need to see that passion. They need to see it being real. That this walk we walk is not just a walk. We talk the talk and we walk the walk. Man, we need to love our children. 1 John 4, 4. You can just write it down. You, dear children, are from God and overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. There is one in the world that wants your children to go to hell. There is one in the world that wants you to get bored and go to hell. What are you going to do about it? You're going to stand there and hear the warning and ignore it? I don't think so. I don't think that's what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, you'd be in bed right now. Like probably 90% of the world is. But you're here because you love God. Because you're passionate about the lost. And you're passionate about your families. Understand where this is coming from. This is not a rebuke in the least. This is just a call to passionate living. This is a call to get back to being excited for being a Christian. Amen? Amen. Guys, when we're not excited, people suffer. When we're not excited, we suffer. Jesus didn't die for us to be bored or to simply survive to the end. That's not an adventure. If you went to the movies and it was said to be an adventure movie and it was boring, what would you want? Your money back. Because there's no such thing as a boring adventure. You'd be upset. Jesus has enlisted you, we sang about it, into the army of God. There ain't too many armies that are boring. You have a purpose, amen? Guys, we need to be passionate about God. We need to be passionate about the lost. We need to regain our passion for our families. We need to be seeking tons of advice. If you see somebody that's doing it right, it behooves you to go talk to them. Amen? I love you guys. We need to live out the Christian life, because if we do so here, we will enjoy it for eternity. Amen.
Let's bow together and pray. Father in heaven, help us to see all the great things you've given us, all the many blessings you've poured out on us, Lord. Help us to see, Father, how you've done so much for us. And Father, I just pray that will just really inspire us and help the passion in us always to be there. Father, help us realize that we do have passion, we have excitement because of what you've done for us. Because of all of our many blessings. And I pray that, as John talked about this morning, that we'll just really show it in the different areas of our lives. And Father, as a result, that you will be glorified, Lord, and it really will continue to make this wonderful life we're living a great adventure. Thank you for John and for his lesson and for his inspiration. And please just help us to take the lesson to heart today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you are dismissed.